know, what the issues are here. I wouldn't say that it was their intent that this would have not been shown. Mr. Rogers indicated this evening that DLDOT didn't think this would be made public. Their report is based on this. It's very difficult for someone that's not familiar with these tables and findings to look at a report and know exactly what this translates into. So I'm
now, DLDOT hasn't ever had the opportunity to compare both models.
They're DLDOT models.
This is DLDOT's model.
Okay, they're both DLDOT models.
Yeah, simply...
You're just plugging the counts in, and then the program runs.
Okay, but have they looked at both of the
they have not.
Conclusions
I have not.
Of each of the, no. Of no. The applicant and the opposition?
No, I've not.
Nobody's submitted this so they could look at both
no.
perspectives on the same issue?
Yeah, and okay. Again, it's... One of the problems is DLDOT, in their plus comments, make comments. The applicant gets back and says, you know, here's what we believe about your comments. The State Office of Planning doesn't really have a role anymore, and they dump it on your laps and ask you to figure it out.
Sure.
Unless there's any questions.
I have one question.
Yes.
On the data that you just showed, this will help me clarify one thing. Does it show that that's Route 9 on there? Because there's a big shield that had a 9 on it, and that would...
This is just an aerial map off of Google.
Okay, and Mr.
It wouldn't be an official...
Robertson,
okay.
The code says where Route 9 is.
Well, you said that came from DLDOT, and it had shields with Route 9 on it.
It doesn't matter, because it's
Can you guys figure this out later?
Yeah, we will.
Thank you.
Unless there are any other questions.
I do have one question.
Sure.
Because I've heard two different things here. He has just referenced some intersections were not looked at and should have been. Previously, the testimony was that DLDOT tells you what intersections to look at.
What we're saying...
Somebody's right or wrong.
Mr. Vincent, what we're saying is your code has a provision that we quoted, and your code we're interpreting as your code...
That's your interpretation.
Yeah,
okay.
But again...
Thank
and,
you.
But DLDOT... is not interpreting your code. They're interpreting their different criteria.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
I never saw any traffic lights turn red. It just cars just went.
Well, I didn't get in close enough.
It was all figured in there, huh?
Yeah.
Somehow. Okay.
They were running four times as fast.
They were running four times as fast.
Yeah.
Okay.
They were running 30 speeding up the
street. Oh, they were.
I'd like to get to those four times as fast.
I like to move
okay.
as fast.
My next witness is Charlie Hewitt.
Little technology change over here.
Hey, how about that?
Sir, just try to hit the key points. It's getting late.
I will do that because it's getting late.
Yes, it is.
My name is Charlie Hewlett. I'm a managing director with Robert Charles Lester & Company, RCL Co., out of our Washington, D.C. Headquarters. I have 25 years of experience in the real estate industry, 23 of those with RCL Co. Our firm conducts market and financial feasibility, fiscal and economic impact for real estate projects all over the country. We have a long history of working here in Sussex County. The firm does, and I personally have had experience conducting retail market overviews, site-specific town center developments, including residential, commercial, and mixed-use development. I'm going to touch on a couple of highlights here with regard to the existing retail market and outlook for what the market can support. As I said, a view of the pipeline. I've also had an opportunity to do a review of some of the ERA economic impact and market study analyses. And then finally, I've been asked to just simply opine upon the marketability and feasibility of the Towns and Village Center as proposed, purely from a market standpoint. So with that, I will jump right in and get to data and not the introductory information. And what I want to do is start with an overview of what's happening in the retail market today. So I will also try to correct some pre-rebuttal information just to set the record straight. There's about 2.1 million square feet of existing retail in 21 neighborhood and community and outlet centers in what we define as the beach market. So that's Lewis to Fenwick. About 90% of that, as you all are aware, are right here on the Route 1 corridor. The market actually in this downturn has been experiencing some stress, as you would expect, and there is an approximate 30% vacancy rate in the existing centers, not including any of the planned space that's going forward. There are two or three dark stores and centers. I'm sure you all are shopping here more than I do and can see that on the ground. So where the 4% vacancy rate number comes from, I cannot tell you. A market that has a 4% vacancy rate would be one of the healthiest retail markets in the country. That's not what's happening today. It's certainly what's not happening here on the ground. We have done a statistical demand analysis that indicates how much support there is for retail in this marketplace, looking at expenditures and households coming both from the local marketplace, outside the marketplace, tourists, and looking at both spending that is coming into the market as well as leaking out to other locations. And that structural demand indicates that there is support for about 1.8 million square feet of existing retail today. So you compare that against the supply, the 2.1 million square feet that we've identified out there in the marketplace. And before you even talk about any of the vacancy that occurs, that indicates that there is a pretty significant oversupply of retail space currently, or approximately 324,000 square feet. Now, that's interesting, but not particularly relevant, perhaps, to the application, but it certainly does indicate to you that there is little, if any, pent-up demand in the marketplace for additional retail today. And again, it doesn't include any of the future space that's planned in the marketplace. Now, I've been accused of anti-competitive behavior. I'm a card-carrying capitalist, and I believe in competition. What I observe when I look at the existing retail set in the marketplace is simply that there are no missing teeth out there in the marketplace. There are no major categories of retailers, be that grocery stores, be that bookstores, be that pharmacies, home improvement, and a bunch of other category killers. That would indicate that there's an obvious gap missing from the retail expenditure patterns of the marketplace. Is there room for other players to come into the marketplace and steal sales and create a better mousetrap? Yes. I mean, retail is a lot about reinvention and cannibalization to a large degree. I mean, that is the competitive marketplace. What you have to decide here, in part, is how that's going to manifest itself on the map, where and when, to a certain degree. So looking at the amount of square feet that are actually planned in the marketplace, as you look at the outlook for the marketplace, certainly there is going to be demand for additional retail space in this marketplace as household growth and increase in tourism occurs. However, notwithstanding the existing supply, when you look at the amount of new retail space that's planned and how much of that planned space can be supported by simply by growth in the marketplace, new households, increasing expenditures, then there is a clear mismatch between the amount that is proposed and the amount that can be supported in the marketplace. So you've got over 2.1 million square feet of additional space that is planned in all of these centers that you see up here on the map. Our statistical demand, looking at just the growth in the marketplace for additional support over the next 10-year period, so between 2009 and 2018, indicates there's structural demand for an additional 887,000 square feet of space. So call it 900,000 just to round it and compare that to the 2.1 million square feet that's planned. Currently, you've got a mismatch between the amount that's planned and the amount that the market can support simply from growth. If you do the simple math and take that 900,000 square feet of space and you divide it by the 10 years and you look at the 2.1 million square feet, you've got 24 years of supply of future development. So again, misquoted in that there's a 24-year supply of existing space in the market. That's not the case. But the amount of retail that is planned is decades and decades of future growth in the marketplace. If you look at the Five Points intersection just alone, there's 728,000 square feet of retail space that's either under construction or planned. So you've got an 8-year supply of retail just in that one intersection with those four or five centers. So what would happen hypothetically if you were to somehow put in production 728,000 square feet of space in that marketplace, which the applicant is on record, and no one would do that. But if for some reason that competitive force that exists out there put more retail space on the market than could be supported through growth, one of two things, and possibly both, would happen. Number one, the new retail development, the new mousetrap, would likely draw retail tenants and shoppers away from some of the older centers, and those existing centers would suffer. Or alternatively, and again, possibly both, the whole market, both the existing centers and the new centers, would not be able to garner sufficient sales in the marketplace, and you'd have increasing vacancy rates overall in the marketplace and underperforming economics. Okay, it's a competitive market, and that's fine. Compete for the dollars, but that's what you'd have simply because you don't have enough support in the underlying fundamental household growth in the marketplace. There's the superstore. So here's that. Here's the set of numbers, and I believe you have this in your booklet. So there's that. There's that four-letter word, the superstore concept out there in the marketplace. The super Walmarts and super Kmarts and super Targets. These are the full-blown discount department stores bolted together with a full-size grocery store all under one envelope. My understanding is that Target does not have any interest in the near term in coming into the marketplace. That's a today, next Thursday, next week perspective, no doubt. Their expansion plans have been curtailed, like most major retailers. However, if the plan did include the possibility at this site for a category killer superstore, such as a Walmart or again, a super Kmart store, they also have that format, this would have a dramatic impact on the existing tenants and centers in the Route 1 corridor overall. Because as we've seen across the country, when these category killers, these super stores, come into the marketplace, they are very, very effective at capturing a disproportionate share of retail dollars within a fairly wide radius. Now, again, it's capitalism. That's okay. But that's a real possibility. So Walmart in particular, and probably Kmart as well, given the opportunity in this marketplace, they have two that they would consider corporately to be undersized stores. They would very likely, if given the opportunity, light up a new superstore in a different location and simply let the existing store go dark. That's happened in many, many instances that I've seen across the country.
Struggling now.
So smart growth. I'm a big fan of this, and we've been hearing a lot about the fact that this center would keep a lot of traffic from the close-in neighborhoods, and particularly from new residential that's planned as part of this broader master plan, from getting onto Route 1, and I think that's certainly the case. But when you look at the amount of space that actually could be supported by 2,000 residential units, it's not very much. What you're seeing here on this list is the number of population that's required to support typical kind of stores. So 2,000 homes with the average household size of 2.4, which is what the county average is a new population of, you know, let's call it 5,000 persons, just rounding it up. But you need, you know, 10,000 to support a grocery store and 20,000 to support a discount department store. So clearly this development, as everyone expects, would have to draw from a much wider area than just the immediate vicinity. So you talk about a village center or a neighborhood center. I mean, clearly this is a community center. If it has any big box anchors, is a power center, and those start to draw from a fairly wide radius. 1 to 3 miles is typical for a grocery anchored neighborhood center, but 10 to 15 miles is fairly typical of a draw area for a big box power center development. So we actually ran a very quick statistical analysis that, okay, what could 2,000 homes in this location, how much retail could it actually support in this location? And our analysis indicates that 2,000 homes in this location could support about 40,000 square feet of retail. The rest of it would have to come from outside of the marketplace. And in fact, I looked at the ERA market study, and it's very interesting. They themselves have indicated that the vast majority of the support for retail at this center would not be coming from growth in the marketplace, but rather would be coming from existing retail expenditures, coming from existing dollars out there in the marketplace, and read that as coming from existing centers, either in the Route 1 corridor or in other vicinities. They did two analyses, one that was without a major retailer, and I know those numbers are very hard to read, but they indicated that there was a total supportable square footage by the end of 2018 of between 190 and 230,000 square feet. Of that, demand from household growth between 2013 and 2018, only 40 to 50,000 square feet was coming from growth in the marketplace. So demand captured from existing centers and existing retail expenditures elsewhere are 150 to 180,000. If you look at their scenario, and I'm just taking these numbers directly out of their report, you can see I can actually copy quite badly, indicates that in the 350, 410,000 square feet scenario, which is the the full-blown economic analysis scenario, 90,000 square feet of that comes from household growth, and 260 to 320,000 square feet is captured from existing expenditures out there in the marketplace. So that's just the facts. I'm not trying to tell you whether that's good or bad, just trying to impart what the information is. Traffic, our favorite subject tonight, no doubt. And I don't want to, miss the opportunity to pile on. traffic is normally a bad thing out there from most of the perspective of the people in the room, but from a market perspective and from the perspective of potential retailers, traffic is a good thing. I actually want high traffic counts, and you'll go into the retail center shopping directory and look at their criteria, and they'll actually list out what kind of traffic counts that they expect to have. 25, 30,000 kind of counts are sort of the threshold that you begin to attract some of the destination retailers and convenience retailers. So as I just think about, and I have no dog in this fight, just so you know, but just from a pure retailer's perspective, if I were looking for a location to put an anchor tenant, a super center, I would be looking for a location that had direct visibility and access to Route 1 and probably would not consider Kings Highway to be a really logical location. Again, just from a pure market perspective. So with that, I'll stop.
Questions from council? Are you saying you would not put a super center there because of traffic count, or you would?
I'm saying that that would be a low priority choice if there were other options in the market. I would say that if that was the only option available to a super center potential anchor, they would certainly consider it. It would probably be a difficult choice for them, but they might ultimately decide to go there if they were precluded from going anywhere else.
Seems like a lot of conflicts in the arguments. At one point, the argument is made that a super center is bad, and then in the next breath you say, but a super center is likely not to go here. On the one hand, they say there's going to be extra traffic here because of the additional shopping taking place, but then in the next breath it said there's not this potential for additional retail, so it sounds like a more just a relocation of the traffic, whether it's coming from existing traffic down on the southern end of Route 1 or the northern end. Just seems like there's a lot of arguments, as you say, being piled on here without much logic to them.
Traffic is not my thing. I'm reporting on traffic counts as a location criteria for major retailers. With regard to the desirability of the applicant's location versus other potential sites that exist along Route 1, Route 1 direct access and visibility with these kinds of traffic counts that exist today and the forecast going forward, a location with direct access and visibility from Route 1 would be much preferable from a retailer's perspective than a location with these kinds of traffic counts and projections on Kings Highway.
So it sounds like to me you're basically saying it's unlikely you're going to get a super center at this location considering the traffic counts.
I would say if there were options that the applicant's location would be a lower priority than a Route 1 location. However, given the dynamics of this marketplace, if that were the only site that were available, they would likely consider that as an option because they were precluded from going elsewhere in the Route 1 corridor. I'm not sure that's the case.
Right. Okay. Any other questions from council?
I think you're totally honest in what you're saying. And I think that goes back to the question I asked a while ago. Where's this traffic coming from? I don't think they're going to come off Route 1 to come back down there. I think there may be a few, and I think the ferry traffic is still going to go pass it by there. That's my opinion as I look at what's been said here tonight. So I think you're exactly on target. I agree.
Well, I'll agree with you then.
Okay.
Very good.
Anything else? Thank you very much.
I'm releasing my two expert witnesses.
Oh, thank you. You're releasing them?
No,
you had them capped. You had them held captive.
No, I'm saying that normally our witnesses.
We have their testimony in here, right?
Their testimony is all
okay.
in there, but
and that'll be
they
presented.
All have to travel a long way.
So
all right, thank you.
If you've got any questions, better ask now because they're gone.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If there's any further questions, that need to.
Oh, these two. There's still more. Oh, I thought you were releasing the next two.
They were the experts. Next ones aren't experts. Does that mean you're not an expert because you're not being released? Or are you considered an expert?
He hasn't had a chance to talk yet.
Okay.
I've never heard it before either.
Can we use the egg timer with Mike?
Yeah.
The 3-minute egg timer.
He's one of my constituents.
Maybe friends and neighbors.